In a few minutes, a business article from nearly a quarter century ago comes back to inform the post-Harvey Weinstein world. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Lots of movement in Congress with the $1.5 trillion tax overhaul. House Republicans thought they had passed it, but because of a procedural snafu, they have to vote one last time today. Senate Republicans are already celebrating after their vote. Going forward on this program, we're going to probe the biggest tax change in 30 years from every angle we can. Today, what America's new tax system does for the big banks, which generally have not been able to avail themselves of the same tax avoidance maneuvers that were open to other companies that are more multinational in scope. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gornstein.
For every dollar of profit, most of the nation's banks pay 35 cents to the federal government. That's about to drop to 21 cents.
Less for the government, more for the bank. That's a first order, a good thing for banks.
John Graham is a finance professor at Duke.
They'll have more cash flow to invest, to pay their employees.
Under the tax plan, some banks, like Citigroup, won't be able to deduct as much in losses it sustained during the financial crisis. But analysts say it's a small price to pay for the expected windfall. RBC's Gerard Casty forecasts banks, particularly medium-sized ones, will use this money to start buying each other up.
After tax reform is put to bed, we expect big bank M&A to come.
Casty says the need to serve clients online is behind the anticipated mergers. He says giants, J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo, are spending $10 billion a year on technology. The only way competitors can keep up is by joining forces. I'm Dan Gornstein for Marketplace.
I want to check the markets. The 100-share index in London is down 0.2%, but Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are each up 0.3%. As a guide to interest rates, the 10-year Treasury yield up at 2.46%. We're also covering a final ruling today by the European Union's highest court that the car service Uber should be treated by regulators as a transport company, not a digital company. This is seen as a big setback for Uber of Oakland to California. If you miss our coverage of that on the air, it'll be in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed later on. When it comes to news about the economy, Marketplace has got you covered. And when you donate $10 a month or more to support the work that we do, you can get a Marketplace umbrella to help protect you from stormy weather. The real thanks you'll get for your gift is when you listen every day, knowing that you're making it possible for Marketplace to make people smarter about the economy and why it matters. We believe it's important work, which we're already doing, and with your help, we'll be able to do more of it and reach more people as well. Become a Marketplace investor today at marketplace.org, and thank you. The other day, an old Harvard Business Review article turned up in some fading family files. It was about what people should do about sexist culture in the workplace. My late mother-in-law, Deanna, had sent it to an aunt years ago. Must read, she'd written and read. It was almost as if my beloved mother-in-law, although no longer with us, was commenting on current events. The HBR piece from 1993 is called The Memo Every Woman Keeps in Her Desk. It asks how, even if, a woman should alert the CEO to what's really going on. Experts, including feminist icon Gloria Steinem and a guy who used to run the U.S. Attorney's Office in Boston, commented on how to deal with a corrosive culture for women. Now, I tracked down the article's author, Kathleen Reardon, professor emerita at USC's Marshall School of Business. Dr. Reardon, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
So it wasn't only my mother-in-law sending this around back then?
I'm delighted that she was sending it around. It did become a reprint bestseller, very contentious subject at times. When I did interviews like this, people would call in and yell at me.
For what, raising the issue of the workplace culture?
For being one of those feminists. And sometimes because people didn't really read it as what it was, which was the beginning of a dialogue about what should a woman do who's uncomfortable in a workplace and sees other women leaving.
Do you go alone to human resources? Do you go alone to the boss if you feel something's broken in the workplace culture?
Well, you know, I wrote another article for HBR called Courage as a Skill. One part of courage is that rarely should you go alone, and rarely should you go without facts. And rarely should you go without really concise examples.
Now, one expert on, I think, entrepreneurship in your original HBR piece, Jolene Godfrey, points out that if the dinosaur won't change, meaning the boss and the culture at the company, it may be the person needs to leave and start another venture or join another venture where the culture is different.
And certainly many, many women have and become entrepreneurs rather than deal with the culture. Others of us, we stay and we work from within. And some days it's tough.
There also may be a economic class issue here. I mean, it's one thing to say, if I don't like the culture and I can't change it, I could move on. It's not so easy if you're being harassed as a lower level fast food worker, where we do see reports of a lot of this. You may not have the options to leave the culture.
It's very important to remember that while we see the issues of high profile people and women speaking up, most women can't do that. They have to find ways to make it work out. And that's what I've spent a lot of my career doing, is helping people learn ways of communicating that allow them to function within a wide variety of organizational types, some of them ranging from very mildly political to truly pathological.
Wouldn't it have been awful if 24 years ago, when you're ready to go to press with this Harvard Business Review piece, if I could have told you that it would remain extraordinarily relevant nearly a quarter century in the future?
I don't know that I would have been all that surprised. I kept reading that young men were going to make the difference. But at the time, I was teaching graduate students, MBAs, executive MBAs. I was not seeing that open-mindedness with regard to women at that time. And I didn't see it 10 years later.
Kathleen Reardon, Professor Emerita at USC's Marshall School of Business. Dr. Reardon, thank you.
Thank you.
Reardon is emerita at USC's Marshall School of Business. Her 1993 piece is called The Memo Every Woman Keeps in Her Desk. Professor Reardon's written extensively about women in the workplace and how to tackle that culture, from business books to scholarship to a second novel on the subject she's just finishing. Reardon also is experimenting with a draft system for classifying the severity of inappropriate behaviors. She calls it the Spectrum of Sexual Misconduct at Work, or SSMW. Our conversation about that, plus a link to her work on this, is at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.